Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is Pastor Derry. During the month of September, Abundant Life Worship Center is celebrating our church anniversary with a series of guest pastors ministering during our Sunday morning services. In today's message, we were blessed to have Pastor Foch Fuller from North Bay Foursquare Church in Vallejo minister the Word of God to us. In his message titled Inheritance, he ministers the blessing of learning by honoring God's appointed leadership and not by trial and error. We know that you will be blessed by this truly anointed message. Listen in, and I'll talk with you at the end of the broadcast.
Good to be here. There's a couple things I want to say. One of them is we just love your pastors, and thank you for the opportunity to come and be a part of this celebration month. How exciting. Four years and just going to be so much more. One of the things, too, is Pastor Tammy, thanks for coming a while back and leading worship at our church. That was just such a kick, and you bailed us out of a serious situation, and I'll be talking to you about that in a few minutes. The other thing I love about you guys is your guiding principles, some of the things that God has called you to do and be. Like us, you're all about being a worshiping church. And that is just so important. Also, like our church, you believe in the power of prayer. You're all about evangelism and building strong relationships, like we've been hearing about, and learning to love one another. You know, the 59 one another's in the New Testament, in the Scriptures, the 59 one another's, did you know 20 of them are about loving one another? Love's in there. And so I think that's kind of important on God's agenda. Amen?
Amen.
And then finally, you hold the Word of God as primary in your lives. And that is so important, church. I heard a story not too long ago about a minister. He was telling me about his son, 4 years old, was invited by this couple who were getting married in their church to would he be willing to carry the Bible that the pastor was going to use to perform the ceremony as part of the entourage coming in. And so the pastor said, well, if he wants to do it, that's fine. You know. And so they asked him, and he was like, well, okay, this little four-year-old. And then at rehearsal, he did great, right? So they gave him the Bible. He starts walking down, and pretty soon he's getting a little swag on, you know, because everybody's kind of cheering him. And he's like, man, I got this, you know. And he gets up front, and he's just like this, you know, and he's loving it. Hands his dad the Bible. Everything's perfect. But something happened. Between rehearsal and the real thing. And this poor little boy, he started getting nervous, and he started getting scared, and he froze. And his dad, you know, is in the back with him, like, what's wrong? He goes, I can't do this. I can't do this. And his dad said this to him. This is so cool. He said, when you come through the door, keep your eye on me. Keep your eyes on me. And hang on tight to the Word. Is that good or what? So this little boy, he comes out the door. He's just, you know, he starts to walk, but he just keeps his eyes on his father and his hands gripping the Word. He started out real slow, real scared, and then pretty soon he started to relax. And back came the swag, and he just started going, you know. As long as he kept his eyes on his father and his hand on the book, he was okay. Church, that's what it's all about.
Amen.
Keeping our hands on the Word, keeping a tight grip on the Bible, and keeping our eyes on the Father. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, these next few minutes, we want to be a people who keep our grip tight on your Word. And thank you for opening up the windows of heaven for every one of us who've received Jesus Christ, because now and forevermore, we can keep our eyes on you, Father, in intimate relationship and you giving us direction every step of the way. We thank you for it, Lord. Bless this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. I have two words for you. One of them I gave in our church recently. The Lord woke me up a few days ago before I got ready to speak in our church. This month we've been talking about presence, the presence of God. And just how to prepare for the presence, how to make room for the presence, how to be a people of the presence, how to carry the presence with you wherever you go 24/7. And before I spoke last time, I woke up one morning, and I don't know if you ever have this experience, but I wake up to God speaking to me sometimes. Anybody ever had that? You just wake up, and there's the word, and oh, hallelujah, just keeps you going and fills you for the day. And but what he spoke to me, he said this, and I feel like he wanted me to share this with you, that, listen to this, he said, I will never love anyone more than I love you. And I want you to grab that for yourself. He said it to me, and I know he meant it for me, but he meant it for the bride. And you know how sometimes we'll put people on a pedestal, or we'll think God loves them more, or why are they so blessed, or whatever, you know, because everybody's in different places, different situations in life, and circumstances, and all that kind of stuff. And we can get caught by the enemy in the lie that says, you're not good enough, or God doesn't love you, or you don't qualify. And God was trying to take and wipe all of that away, and just simply declare, church, I will never love anyone more than I love you. So would you just join me for a second? Would you put your hand over your heart and receive this word? Just take it for yourself. And just say, put your name in there. My name is Foch, so I'm going to say Foch. I'm just going to say, the Lord says Foch. Say your name. I will never love anyone more than I love you. Now let's make it personal. He will never love anyone more than he loves me. Right now, in my situation, in my circumstance, in no matter what all has happened, he loves me 100%. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew. Ooh, that just kind of settles things for me. He doesn't love me anymore, he loves you. And he doesn't love you any more than he loves me, right? Come on. That's good for every one of us. Another word that I had, a little bit of a prophetic word for this house, is I felt like the Lord told me the other day that one of the anointings on this house is reconciliation. And I don't know if you've talked about that or gotten into that, but I just saw this word over you, of the word reconciliation. And what I saw was restoring hope to a community by reconciling them to Jesus Christ. You're going to be reconciling possibility back into marriages, bringing restoration to fathers and sons and mothers and daughters, whole families being reconciled. And I just saw that you're going to bring generations together to honor, to love, to respect, and to serve God together in the body of Christ, ministering reconciliation to our city and beyond for the lost and the saved. And then this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20, says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Say that, I'm an ambassador for Christ. Come on. As though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. In him. Come on. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you to not receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Come on. Come on. So this reconciliation thing, and it got me to the place where I had to look the word up. You know, I wanted to get a definition of the Greek there. And one of the definitions I thought was so powerful, it means to make an exchange, basically, to reconcile, make an exchange. But it says to make an exchange of equivalent value. Jesus was reconciling us to God. I'd never thought of it this way before, but he was making an exchange of equivalent value. In other words, God saw you as so valuable that he was worthy to make that exchange with you because you're worthy to be exchanged with him. Sometimes we feel like he's way up there and we're just nothing. That's not how he sees it. You are his loved ones. You are the ones he gave his life for. And in his mind, that was an equivalent exchange. Whoo! Wow! No wonder we've been raised up and seated in heavenly places. No wonder he calls us his bride. He loves us that much. That's why he created us. Somebody say, glory.
Glory.
Woo! It is an equivalent exchange. I don't know about you, but that just rocked me. I actually had to stop and go, what? What? Wow. How he views us is so amazing. If we could just believe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's get into the word I'm bringing today. Though we could kind of pause right there, huh? Just say, we done church already. That's so good. I want to talk to you a little bit about receiving and walking in your inheritance. The way I picture this is there's two roads before every Christian that you can choose. One of them is you stay connected to a body of believers there where you're under God-appointed leadership, and through that road you begin to receive an inheritance, right? The inheritance of the kingdom, the promises of the kingdom, right? Or you can go it alone and kind of do your own thing. But the way you receive when you're going alone and doing your own thing is just through sowing and reaping. Now, it's going to take you a lot of sowing in order to begin to reap in your own energy and effort. And not that God would look down on that. He blesses people wherever they're at. He loves people wherever they're at. But there's these two roads, the way I see it. And when you're doing the sowing and reaping, man, you're just learning from hard knocks. You're just getting beat up everywhere, every time you turn around. I remember when I was illustrating, you know, sowing and reaping. When I was in high school, I worked at Denny's. Oh, love that job. Because back then, I don't know if you can do it anymore, but you could eat anything you wanted, you know. And they had pie and ice cream, and oh, I just loved working at Denny's. But anyway, when I was a busboy at Denny's and I started out, I was kind of just doing my own thing. I was just kind of doing what I figured out I kind of needed to do as a busboy. I wasn't really trained that much. They say, clear the tables, do this, do that. Okay, so I took off after it and started doing it. But, you know, I was kind of doing the... You know, and I don't mean to slam Caltrans, but my dad used to use Caltrans as a joke. So I was kind of doing the Caltrans thing, you know, where you just hold your shovel and watch everything go on. You know, and if there was another way to say it, I would, because I love Caltrans and what they do. But you understand what I'm saying, right? So I would go out there with my tray and kind of just stand and look around, you know, and there's a dozen tables that need to be emptied, right? But I'm just kind of, and then I would mosey over and you know, clear off a table, look around a little bit, mosey into the kitchen, you know, and back, and put the tray down, and then mosey out, and then maybe go to the bathroom, go get a drink, eat some pie. And one day the boss called me in. I had worked too many days like that. He called me in, and he said, "You are the worst bus boy I have ever had. If you don't get moving, we're going to have to fire you." And man, what? I'm doing just like Caltrans. What do you mean? You know? And I just figured out I wasn't doing it the way I was supposed to. So I started learning from somebody else. I started watching the other bus boys, you know, because there'd usually be two of us on. And the other guy was just buzzing around like a bee. You know, he never stopped. You know, I never got going. Until I walked out of that office, out of that meeting. And man, I took off like somebody lit a firecracker and I was running from it, you know. And just because I learned from somebody else. I received from somebody else. Oh, this is how you do it. I got the vision. I got the picture. And I also got the motivation. God's not going to fire you. But I want to learn through inheritance from other people and receive, like learn from their mistakes instead of having to make my own. Receive the inheritance that's coming down, that they've already plowed the way, that they've already broke through into the areas where they've already received the anointing. I want to walk that direction. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about a little bit is being a people who are receiving through inheritance instead of just through hard knocks. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of learning through hard knocks. That wears you out, you know, that messes you up. And there could be a lot of illustrations on that one there. But in the scripture, when I just did a quick look, and there's over 200 verses that talk about inheritance, but there's less than 10 that talk about sowing and reaping. So I think the weight is over on the other side. But where I want to go with this is just to tell you a little bit about my journey in this, and that was Debbie and I, my wife and I at our church, have just, praise God, turned the corner. We have moved into a new season. There's a fresh anointing on our services. There's a fresh anointing on our people and our worship. We've just turned this corner recently after 7 years, 7 years, 7 years that were really, really tough. And what had been going on in our church over those 7 years was, for the first time, we've been pastoring here in Vallejo for 28 years, and for the first time in our ministry, there was some disgruntledness amongst our leaders. There was some disunity. There was some disregard of our leadership, and we'd never experienced that before. I really didn't know what to do. First, I thought, well, that's the enemy. So we're going to press in and keep going and keep pressing and see what God will do. And then it kind of got worse. And we had some people start to point the finger at us. And the story turns out good, so don't get too under it, right? Then I decided, well, it's their issue. Have you ever done that? That it's other people's issues. Like, if they would just get fixed, then I'd be okay. Well, that's called being a victim, right? I became a victim of what they were doing rather than me making the decisions and following the Lord on my own. And what was going on during that period of time was it seemed like the anointing kind of lessened and we didn't experience those great breakthrough services. You know how every now and then you'll just have this wow service? Anybody been to one of those? And whoo, it's just like the glory comes. I mean, I wish it was that way every week, but I think the Lord makes us hungry, so when it does come, we'll eat, right? And then there'll be times where they're just teaching and training, and then boom, there'll be this incredible anointing will fall, and we're hungry enough to where, man, we'll drink the whole river, if you're with me, all right? So those things kind of happen, but we noticed that was getting kind of less and less, and the joy began to get a little less. And the excitement about church began to wane a little bit, and it was kind of like a heavy battle that we were fighting through during those years. And God still showed up. People still got touched and healed and encouraged. I mean, we were still moving, but it was a battle. And through that season, Debbie and I did a lot of prayer and gathered some people around us. And finally, the Lord moved those people on. You know, they weren't happy and they just moved on, which sometimes God does. And then God just blasted me one morning, and I woke up to these words, another waking up to the words of the Lord. I love it when he does that, but I don't like it when he does that sometimes. Okay, and the Lord spoke, and he said this, he said, you know, and when the Lord starts a discussion, you don't ask, what? You know, what do you mean I know? But he just said, you know, you opened the door to this. To the 7 years of bad luck, to those seven tough years, and I was just sat up in bed. I'm like, what? How did I do that? You know, first I believed it because it was him, and he doesn't mess with us like that. And I said, Lord, how did I open the door to it? And this is what he told me. He said, through your disregard of your leadership, you opened the door for disregard to come into your house. And church, it just rocked me. And it blew me away. And I started trying to think, okay, God, how did I disregard my leadership to open the door? And I knew what he was saying had to be right. Right? Listen, church, whether I can figure it out or whether I can understand it or whether I even feel like it's right, when he says that it's right. If it's in the Word, it's right. If he speaks it to you and you know the voice of God, you know, not that you don't submit those words to other people. You do, and I did. But when he says it, I don't have to understand it. But what I do, I need to pursue it. Okay, God, what are you saying to me? Because what is he after? In every one of our lives, what is he after? Your freedom, your blessing, your anointing, your victory. And if we can get out of the victim mentality, because I was thinking it was all their fault, you know, and they're the one messing everything up. And he's saying, no, it was you. Whew. Listen, I began to weep. It began to crush me because I began to realize, oh, I see what you're talking about, God. I began to disregard my own. I'm in a denomination called Foursquare, and we have divisional leaders over us, and then we have district leaders, and then we have international leaders. And I began to disregard to a degree that influence in my life. And let me tell you why. One of the reasons was that I began to disregard was because years ago, 1995, I got touched by God in, have you ever heard of the Toronto blessing or the renewal, the move of God that happened, you know, that began back in 94 in a little church in Toronto? I got exposed to it, and I knew it was God because of some of my friends that were in it. And so I began to pursue it. But some of my denominational leaders weren't quite as caught up in it as I was. They weren't quite as excited about it, and they weren't too sure about it, which I understand. You don't want to send a whole denomination off into something you're not sure about. But they were even suggested that I stay away from it. And I was in meetings where they were making fun of some of the manifestations. I've made fun of some of the manifestations, but I did them too. But I was grieved at some of the comments that were being made just simply because my life was being transformed. I was coming into the power of the Spirit like I'd never seen before. And what other people probably walked in a lot, I'd never walked in some of that revelatory knowledge, prophetic words, hearing the voice of God clearer than I ever had before, ministering to people and seeing marriages restored, bodies healed, people, you know, we would have services at our church that started at 10 a.m. on a Sunday, and we wouldn't leave until 3 or 4 in the afternoon because the anointing was so heavy. And you couldn't get up off the floor because it was so heavy. You know, one of my sons he got up to speak one time in a class, and he got up and the anointing was in the room. I'll never forget this. And all he could say was, "Whoa!" And people were just sliding out of their seats onto the floor. I mean, there was a move of God, right? And so I was so caught up in this, but then I had denominational leaders that were cautious. They wanted to make sure this was okay. And that's their job. But I kind of did this and started pursuing that, and I quit going to some of the meetings. I quit going to some of the conferences where we were being taught and trained and educated, and I turned my back, not entirely. I knew I was never going to leave our denomination, but I turned my back and started pursuing this other thing because I just... This is it for me. And so just because of my own grief and my own, listen, I was caught up into my own thing so much that I couldn't catch the big picture. God wanted to do more. He wants to do more than for me to get my blessing. Is there anything wrong with me wanting to get my blessing? No. But God's out up and into something bigger than just me getting this touched. But see, I was so hungry for that that I just gave myself to it, and it became a pursuit of what I wanted from God to the point where I turned my back on some of my own leadership. And I was grieved at what some of the things they said. And so here we go. I took up an offense for what I perceived to be words that were from people that were kind of, I felt like they were kind of missing it a little bit. But the reality is, I was missing it a little bit. Yeah, God wanted me to pursue this, but all along the way, He never told me to start dishonoring my leadership. He never told me to turn my back. He never told me to disengage with them while I was engaging with this. And that opened the door, church. It opened the door. My disregard of my own leadership opened the door to this coming into our church. And when that hit me, it's just been 2 months ago that this revelation came. And when I began to realize that, I was just broken. Because here's what the Lord told me. He said to me, when I disregard or I choose to ignore or disqualify my leaders, I am disregarding and disqualifying the very ones He's put into my life to release the anointing He wants for me. As much as I was pursuing the presence, there is a generational inheritance that God had for me through our denomination and through our leaders. And they're the ones that God wants to... The reason they're there is to release that into my life. The reason He put me in Foursquare under those leaders is because they carry something God wants me to walk in. And I get it by just being around them. I get it by just honoring them. Isn't that crazy? They do all the hard work and we get to go, yay! And you step into it, you know. When I saw somebody start giving words of knowledge and prophetic words, well, I didn't have to study that out in the scriptures and then spend years practicing and working on it and trying to get there. I just went to a class where somebody who carried it blessed us with it, and we turned around and started prophesying over each other. That's inheritance. I don't have to spend 30 years trying to figure out how this works. It's already working. Right? That's how God wants us to walk in that stuff. That's why He puts us in churches and puts us in bodies. And He gives us leadership and anointed ones to lead us and guide us. He brings them in. Why? Just to hand it out. And all you got to do is eat it. Drink it. And then you could turn around and pour it out on others. Hallelujah. It's not, we make it so hard, right? And He calls it faith. And faith is so cool because you may not feel like you got it. You may not even think you got it. You may not even know by experience that you got it. But man, you go lay hands on somebody and these thoughts from the Spirit come flowing through and you just prophesy into their life. The other day I was with a political leader and we got done with our meeting and he's not a believer. You know, I think he was raised Catholic, but he's not really a believer like we are. And we're sitting there and we had this prayer meeting with this political leader and I'm not getting nothing, you know. Have you ever had to pray in a situation where you ain't got nothing? You know, it's like, dear Jesus, you know, hope the sun comes up tomorrow. You know, it's like, what do you say, right? So it was pretty weak prayer, but for me. But then as we were ending, I heard the Holy Spirit say, his relationship between him and his daughter is going to be restored. You know, and I'm just like, that's cool, you know. So I said, hey, can I meet with you for a minute after this? And I said, I have this word for you. You know, I didn't even know he had a daughter. You know, I said, do you have a daughter? And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, the Lord said, you know, and I told him the word. And instantly, tears just came flowing down his eyes. And he grabbed a hold of me and wanted me to pray for him and the restoration of his relationship with the daughter. Well, church, I didn't earn that. Are you with me? I didn't spend 25 years pressing in to be able to speak to this person that word. I just believed what was being spoken from the Word of God, and I received it by inheritance because somebody taught me. And then you take that where you go, and when He speaks, you speak. You with me? Okay, so that's what I'm talking about, inheritance. And by cutting myself off from my leaders, not only did I open the door to that disregard, you know, I sowed it and began to reap it, my church began to be affected by it. My family began to be affected by it. And it was just a tough row, and I wasn't getting it. And finally, you know you're dense when God's got a, hey! But He finally broke through. Why? Well, He took me to Ephesians 4:11, and you're familiar with this. You know this. I mean, Ephesians, I think we might have the verses up. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for what? Say it. The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To what? A perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ha! Those people God put over me are these people right here, so that I can come into the fullness. Imagine that. What would life be like if I was living in the place of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? And you look that up in the Greek, and I think what it means is to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are you with me on that? Come on. The incredible anointing and call that are on these fivefold ministers given by Jesus so that we can live full lives. So I had to go to my leaders. I had to go to my divisional leader and then to my supervisor and then my previous supervisor and just repent and ask their forgiveness. And of course, they were extremely gracious and did so. And I just felt all of that melt away as I restored and repented and began to call upon God. Another scripture that was shocking to me in the midst of this progress was the scripture, Proverbs 6:16-19. Proverbs 6:16-19. You know, God abhors sin. He hates sin because of how it brings destruction. Listen, not only to you and to me and to our lives and to the generations and our children and et cetera when we sin, but it affects creation. You know how creation is in bondage until the sons of God are revealed, right? Until that revelation hits us. Oh, what I say and do not only affects me and mine and my church and my community, but creation itself. You know, I kind of think, I have this idea that, you know, the fires that we've been seeing and hurricanes at the level we've not seen before, hitting our nation. And what do we just come through in the political realm? Has anybody been like me? You know, there were words that came out of my mouth of frustration and disunity and disregard and putting people down. And griping and complaining. Could it be that we as the body of Christ, when we enter into that, and we're the ones that have authority over the earth, and we enter into that kind of stuff, could it be that creation itself responds? And we're seeing it happen. And I'm wondering if part of it was this turmoil, and Christians and non-Christians dove in. Just look on Facebook. There's some people in my church, I'm like, would you just shut up? But I didn't tell them that. But, oh, God, I had to repent. Yeah. from my own words. You know, and I'm a pastor, so I do it nice. But I think we got to understand we can affect how things go in creation itself, as well as in our local church, in our city, in our nation. Does that seem right to you? It sure does to me. And so the Lord hates sin, and that's just one illustration. He abhors sin, but he hates disunity. He loathes, one translation says, disunity. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Right, and I'll just jump to, let's go. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies. Here it is. And one who sows discord among brethren. These things the Lord hates. And I don't think there's anybody in the body of Christ who at one time or another hasn't sowed some discord. Why? Because we get hurt. We get frustrated. We get, you know, our expectations sometimes go way up here. But then you find out the guy up front's just a regular person. He may have a different call in his life than I do, but he's just a regular person, you know. And so we can get our tongues going, can't we? And this just grabbed hold of me. And I didn't purposely speak against, you know, and get real heavy in, well, I shouldn't say outside my own home, talking to my own wife. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just put, you know, where's Maxwell Smart? I need the cone of silence, right? Okay, Debbie, this is between you and me. I got to get something off my chest. God, we're in the cone of silence. You can't hear this. You know, I walk through 80 doors. You know what I'm talking about, that old show. And then get in the cone of silence, which never worked. But it doesn't work. But I would talk to Debbie a little bit about how grieved I was. And so I was giving voice to it. And yeah, of course, God heard. But guess who else heard? Guess who else I was empowering with my words? The demonic realm. There's two realms that are listening. See, Satan doesn't have any authority, right? You know this, right? Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. And then he releases that authority to us to go. So the only way for Satan to get authority in our lives and in our nation and creation is if you and I give it to him by what we say, right? That's why prayer is so important when we're calling for heaven to be released on earth. Listen, there ain't nobody else on the planet that's going to do that. It's just you and me. We're the only ones that can call in angels on assignment, that can call in healing, that can call in redemption and reconciliation. There, wouldn't it be nice if there was somebody else? But it's us. We're the ones that get to partner with God. Oh, you guys are so much fun to speak to. I just love this. This is great. Isn't it exciting when we just, truth. It's the truth that sets us free. As much as it hurts sometimes. So when I was disregarding my leaders, I was cutting myself off from my own inheritance. See, I was saved and brought into the Foursquare family, that denomination, not by my own choice. It was a girlfriend. Sorry. That's how I got there. And I started going to the church, and she quit, but I kept going. And then through some circumstances later in life, I ended up back at the church in my hometown where I grew up, Crescent City, California, where I grew up. I ended up at the Foursquare Church there, and there was a choir there that day, that night, My wife Debbie was in the choir, but I didn't know it, you know, until I got to college later. And I heard the audible voice during prayer at the end of the service where they were asking if anyone felt called by God to go to the denominational Bible college. And I heard God say, I want you to go to Life Bible College, that's the name of it, and graduate. Because he knew if he just told me to go, I probably wouldn't ever graduate. I want you to go to Life Bible College and graduate, right? So I heard, I don't know if anybody else heard it, but I heard it loud and clear outside speaking into my ear. And I was, yes, sir. So by the next fall, I was at Bible College. He put me in this family. He put me into this denomination. He called me into this thing. Why? Because there's such an incredible, I don't know if you know anything about the anointing that's on Foursquare at its origins. But Sister Amy McPherson in the 1920s, she was amazing. And she broke through into this incredible intimate relationship with God where the power of God could just flow through her life. They used to have stretcher days at her church in L.A. It was a church that she built in 1923 that held 5,000 people. You know, one of the biggest churches on the West Coast at the time. I think it was the biggest church. And it would fill up several times a day for services. And then they would have healing services, and the local hospitals would bring dying people on. They called it stretcher day. And then she'd go along and pray for them, and they would get up and walk out. Dying people would get up and walk out. Just incredible anointing on her. She fed through the church there. They fed more people during the Depression than the city of L.A. did. I mean, they took care of people. They loved people. Hollywood would come to see what she was doing with her movie sets because she would put on illustrated sermons and then go back and make movies based on what they saw. I mean, it was such an incredible influence. Listen, the anointing on our denomination is to shake cities. You know, and I'm over here looking for my little blessing. See the problem? Whew. And he's wanting me to line up with that anointing. She led more people to Christ in her ministry as a pastor than anybody in the nation did in those years. Incredible stuff went on there, right? And that's what God wants to pour out on me, right? That's what he wants to release in our ministry. And then it started with one church, right? Last year, at the end of last year, we have 100,000 churches around the world now. It was in one nation, and now we're in 150 nations. That's the anointing. That's the inheritance God wants me to be a part of, right? Why would I cut myself off from that? And then when you turn and you think about your pastors and the anointing on their lives and the inheritance that's been passed into them and to your leaders, as you line yourself up, you get it by inheritance, what they had to pay a price to break into. Hallelujah. And that's why he puts us in these things called church families, right? Now listen to a couple more verses. Whoo, because I really was out to convict myself, so I started reading the Bible. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Jesus. Listen, I don't know where you are politically, and you know what? Whatever, it doesn't really matter as long as you are praying for the blessing of God to be released on those who are in positions of authority. You know, whoever, you pray for Donald Trump, pray for his wife, pray for Governor Brown, pray for Mayor Sampayan. Come on, we got to pray for these people. Why? Because God can move their hearts any way he wants to. If we will pray. If we'll pray. Wow, you may not agree. For crying out loud, what president have we all agreed on everything? Never. They're not the Savior, but I know the Savior, and I can speak life of God into whoever it is, whether they believe in Jesus or not. It doesn't matter. Oh, that's so powerful. Whew, I feel the anointing on that. God bless. our leaders. Jesus' name. Mm. Okay, we're about to wind this up. Hebrews 13, 7 and 17. Those two verses. I just want to hit those real quick. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Amen. A couple more. They're not. I didn't give them to the gentleman back there, but I just have them in my notes. 1 Timothy 5, there's a scripture there that says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. All right, so we got to wind this baby up. I want to invite you, let's take a minute, because if you're anything like me, there's been times where what came out of your mouth didn't build, it didn't construct, it didn't bless. And I had to repent. And when this first hit me and I got up in front of our church, at this point, I was weeping because I felt it so heavy. God, forgive me for speaking against, for giving voice to gossip and to negative words. And you know the scriptures. I mean, the power of life and death, right? You know how it works, right? But sometimes we do this thing where we put what we believe above, or we put what we think above what we believe. And often we put what we feel above what we believe, above the Word of God. And you know what? Truth pretty much isn't affected by how we feel. Actually, it never is. Truth is truth, whether we feel it or not. And I want to invite you to repent with me. If you're of a mind to, if this is in your heart, to repent and ask God to forgive us. We need to ask God to forgive us for the words and the destructive force that can be there at times, and the propensity to disregard and disqualify and just plain old diss other people. If we could see each other the way God sees us, if we could see each other for the gold that's inside of us. I was at a retreat one time and with my wife and I in our church, and there was a speaker there and his wife was there, and God gave me a vision, right? I was seated about right there where you are, and I was looking this way, and she was standing over there, and her physical form disappeared, and I began to see her in the spirit. And Pastor, I went like this. I started to bow. I almost got on my knees. And then I realized, wait a minute, this is just a person. But the glory was so amazing of who she really is in the spirit that I was undone. I couldn't talk for a little bit. I was undone. I didn't know how to behave. And that was just a quick glimpse, and then it was gone. If we could see each other and understand the glory that's on each other and how much anointing God has available to pour out into our lives and how much of His grace that He wants to have flowing through you. Jesus said it's like a river. He wants to just pour out of you and out of me. If we'll but surrender our tongues and surrender our minds and our hearts to the King of Kings. You know, I believe I can't get any more of the Holy Spirit than I've already got. I can't get any more. So what's the problem? I can sure surrender a lot more to what's already available. It's not up to Him to come and give me more. It's up to me to surrender to what is already here. And guess what? More will come. I believe that river in us can get wider if we'll surrender to the river. Yes. Whew. Hallelujah. Come on. Yes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's just keep going. Somebody order lunch. You know, this is great. Hallelujah. You guys are so much fun. So I want to invite you to, if this is touching your heart and you're ready to repent, I want to invite you to stand. You're just declaring before God, I tried to do it right, but I just see there's more surrender I need to make. I want my tongue, my mouth, my declarations to agree with heaven instead of with hell. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're almost all standing. God, it's just such a common thing. But Lord, we want to walk in the inheritance, not in the life of hard knocks. So church, would you just put on your lips, just go ahead, just begin to confess. Lord Jesus, I want to honor my leaders, whether they're in the White House or they're right here in Abundant Life House. God, whatever it is in my life, my boss at work, God, if I could speak blessing into him, maybe he would change. Whatever the situation is. Oh, God, right now we repent. We ask you to forgive us for times that we've disregarded, times that we've caused disunity amongst the brethren, God. Oh, church, would you just begin to speak to him right now and just go ahead. Just tell him, oh, God, forgive me for those times where I literally sowed into what the hell wants to do on earth. And God, I don't want to be that kind of a sower and reaper. I want to sow into heaven. I want to receive an inheritance. I want to walk in your glory and your grace in my life and in the lives of my sons and my daughters, my children. Oh, God, Lord, forgive me because my kids have heard me complain. My kids have heard me gossip and put people down. Oh, Jesus, I repent for what I'm sowing into my own children, God. Lord, and those who are hearing my words, Lord, I ask you to cover it all right now in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, God, you want to release so much life in us that we would just be bouncing off the walls, oh, God. And, Lord, we've been putting it down with our own words. And today we repent and choose a new direction in Jesus' awesome name. In Jesus' awesome name. And church, I just want to tell you this. You don't have to go to them and say, you know, I've been speaking again. You know, you don't have to go to your leaders and tell them. Just realign. Just realign. I had to because, and I did it in such a way where I didn't, you know, put them down or anything. I was led to do that. But you don't have to do that. Just realign and begin to speak blessing. Now, the way I want to end this is have you pray for one another, right? Because you've repented, right? When we repent, heaven begins to open. And I want you to speak blessing into the person next to you. I want you to speak blessing over them. If you're comfortable with this and can do it, would you just begin to prophesy? Now, I'm not saying you got to get a prophetic word for them, but begin to speak into them. Jesus, in his word, says that you are the word of God says you are the apple of God's eye, that he wants to release his word through you. Just say things like that. Just quote scriptures to one another. Declare breakthrough over one another. Let's just take a minute and pray for one another. Go ahead. Just turn to the person next to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whew, glory to your name. Glory to your name.
Wow, praise God, and thanks for listening to this powerful and impactful message by our guest pastor, Foch Fuller. For more information about Abundant Life Worship Center, feel free to check out our website at alwc.us. On our site, you'll find more information about us, our church, and our events calendar, and other messages that may be of interest to you. Once again, that site is alwc.us. You can also find us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/abundantlifeworship.net. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you on our next podcast. And until then, remember that Jesus came to give you life, and that more abundantly.